Welcome in to another NACE International podcast. My name is Ben Dubose, and I'm a staff writer with NACE Publications. First things first, we hope all of you listening are staying healthy and following the guidance of health professionals wherever you may be. This is an unprecedented time with regards to the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak around the world, and your safety is definitely the top priority. As for those of us here at NACE, one of our leading magazines is Coatings Pro Magazine, which covers news as it pertains to both industrial and commercial coatings contractors. These contractors typically apply protective coatings to prevent or mitigate corrosion across a wide variety of substrates, including concrete, steel, and roofing. These days, though, regardless of what industry you're in or what segment of it, it's anything but business as usual. In the aftermath of the coronavirus pandemic, the landscape is changing very quickly, and our guest today has some unique insight on what might come next. His name is Reed Ribble, and he's CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association, that's known as NRCA for short. Founded in 1886, NRCA is a nonprofit association representing all segments of the roofing industry, with over 3,500 members from all 50 states and 53 countries. As for Reed, he was president of his own roofing company for more than 30 years, and then he spent 6 years in the United States Congress in the House of Representatives. That's where Reed represented Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, so he definitely has some unique insights, not just from the perspective of the roofing industry, but also from the legislative side as well. In full disclosure, I recorded this interview with Reed on Wednesday afternoon. Information is changing very quickly these days, and we encourage you to check out official sources such as the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the U.S. Department of Labor for the latest that's going on with regards to the virus. This, again, was taped on Wednesday afternoon, March 25th. With that disclosure, let's play back my conversation with Reed Ribble, CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association. Reed, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. It's nice to have any human contact these days, I feel like, with how isolated we are amid the ongoing pandemic. And I think a good place to start is right now your role is CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What is life like at NRCA these days? What has changed?
Well,
I believe it's been 2 weeks, right, since life basically ground to a halt, at least as it pertains to our usual mode of business. How are things different on March 25th than the way they were on, say, March 11th?
Yeah, well, for one thing, I think we're like a lot of businesses. All of our employees are working remotely.
Okay.
So we've got a telework environment. We've equipped everybody with laptop computers so that they have access to our server and everything remotely, and work continues on just as if we were all sitting in our individual offices. Interestingly enough, I think the communication between team members at NRCA is maybe even dialed up a little bit because they're having to do a better job and be more thorough in communication with each other. And so it hasn't always been it hasn't been all bad, I should say. I wouldn't want to work this way all the time, but it does shift or change the paradigm a bit on how we relate to each other.
With regards to the roofing industry, which obviously NRCA represents, what does the impact look like? I know there's a lot of variance from state to state with regards to new construction, if projects are on hold. But how long, or is there an estimate yet of how long you guys expect this to be a factor, and what type of impact is it making on your members and their 2020 outlook?
Yeah, you know, I've been actually the last few days, I've been going through our board of directors. We've got about 40 members on our board, and just kind of calling them and asking, what has the impact been and what are you seeing? And the answer to your question is not a simple one, because it depends on the type of work they're involved in. Do they do new construction or re-roofing? Do they do commercial work or residential? Are they in Pennsylvania or are they in Tennessee? And it's just fascinating the variability that's out there. Yet the one consistent thing that I'm hearing is our phones are still ringing, customers still want to see us or at least talk with us, and roofs continue to leak in this country. So therefore, our services are even more essential than ever before.
what virtual opportunities are out there? Let's look at this from the perspective of a company or a contractor that's in an area that's really being affected right now, or perhaps will be in a month, because we know that this is going to change from week to week in regards to where the hotspots are. If you're in an area where construction, a lot of projects are on hold, what are some of the things that in the meantime that you can do from a business perspective virtually, if you have to more or less self-quarantine in your home, what are some things that people in this industry can be doing in the meantime to try and move forward, even if their projects are kind of on hold for the time being?
Yes. Should projects be on hold if you're in that place, which, by the way, is most common to people who are doing new construction projects. A lot of new construction projects around the country have been suspended and are on hold until this passes. But there's a lot that they can do. We're seeing members going to virtual estimating, where a consumer, either a residential customer or a commercial customer, doesn't want somebody inside the building, but they'll let the estimator go up on the roof, videotape the roof, and do a virtual estimate, and do teleconferencing or video conferencing with them, providing photos and things like that of what they need to be able to see. We're seeing on the distribution and manufacturing side, their sales teams are communicating with our roofing company members, roofing contractor members, through virtual contact and Zoom meetings. Companies are dialing up the amount of online training they're doing for field workers and foremen. And so there's a lot in the virtual space that can go on today that I think will actually shift how business is done in the future. Americans have always been really mobile in that we'll just get in our car and go wherever we need to go. And I think what's going to happen here is we're going to find out that you can be as efficient if you adjust work virtually, and you might actually be able to be more cost efficient and faster at getting things done. Now, it's never going to take away the true human contact that we have, but it may replace a good amount of it.
One of the interesting things that I'm seeing that sort of touches on this industry and a few others within corrosion control, which of course is what we cover at NACE International, is that some of the companies that manufacture the safety gear that get used on a lot of these projects, certainly the respirators, well, you're seeing those in great demand to fight the pandemic. And we're starting to see some cool stories with regards to, I know 3M and Honeywell this week are trying to make more masks for the surge in healthcare demand to fight the pandemic. Are you seeing people in your industry? I'm just trying to picture some contractors, some engineers, people that are on the job that might have some of this equipment that could be used in a different way. Is that something that you anticipate happening?
Yes, I do. In fact, Vice President Pence reached out to the entire construction industry asking if you had a surplus of masks, would you be willing to turn them over to your local hospital and healthcare providers? And we have communicated that with our members. And so for members that have the masks that they don't have an immediate need for, and there are some immediate needs that they need. If you're cutting any type of clay or concrete tile or pavers where there's some silica in the air, your workers need to wear it for their own safety and protection. However, if they don't have those type of projects coming up and they've got masks available, we've been saying you might want to consider turning them in to your local hospital where they're going to be put to use immediately. And across the board, this is the type of thing that roofing contractors love to do. They're a very generous, family-oriented business. They get it, and they understand the importance of it.
Once we get beyond this pandemic, and again, we don't know if this is weeks, months, the exact timetable, that's still to be determined. But at some point, or at least when we begin to emerge from this current phase, are there some potential positives that come out of this? Because one thing that I've wondered about from a construction perspective, these projects that get put on hold, at some point, there's going to be, whether it be later in 2020, 2021, there's going to be a surge in demand, I would think, to try and pick up where we left off, make up for lost time. Is that something that you expect with regards to the roofing industry, roofing contractors? And if so, what are some things that they should be doing to kind of prepare for that demand?
Well, I think initially they should be talking to people that are laid off. The entire hospitality industry in the country is laid off right now. It could be airline employees, airline mechanics. It could be hotel, restaurant workers and things like that. And those people would like to be working. And if you are in a state where roofing is viewed as an essential service, in most cases, those roofing companies are working every single day. And so I think one of the byproducts of this is that we're likely to find some new energized workers that will be interested in coming to join us in this industry. I view that as a net plus. We've had a lot of conversations about the potential of pent up demand. I think it's real. I think there absolutely will be pent up demand. But in an era where we don't have a lot of workers, that also could be troubling because people will have to wait longer to get that work done. Going into this crisis, the U.S. roofing industry was already 40,000 workers short. Mm-hmm. If they come out of it at the same place with all this pent-up demand, there's going to be a lot of disappointed customers out there. And so there are some challenges. And so we're encouraging people where they are in regions of the country where they can work and follow the social distancing recommendations of their state, that they should continue to work and try to provide those services wherever they can, and to kind of mitigate the backlog that's likely to happen when we get to the backside of this. And, you know, you mentioned you didn't know how long it's going to last. I don't think we really know how long it's going to last, but we can look at the Chinese experience. Mm-hmm. From beginning to pretty much the end, it was 108 days. So a little over 3 months. And so our first cases in the U.S. started showing up early in February. So that means somewhere late in May, early in June, this should be pretty much over with.
I think that would be music to everyone's ears in this industry if we can at least start to move on that quickly. With regards to our audience, Coatings for Magazine, of course, covers coatings contractors. And for your guys that are in roof coatings, is there any particular segment of that? Of course, I know silicones and environmentally friendly coatings have been the wave for a while, white roofs. This doesn't necessarily have to be related to life after the pandemic, but with regards to roof coatings, are there any specific trends that you're expecting to happen once we do finally move out of this current hiatus?
Yeah, well, it's my opinion that the entire liquid applied or fluid applied roofing industry is almost on the cusp of a renaissance. And what I mean by that is there have been so many new technologies that have been brought to bear over the last 15 years or so. And as those products get more and more sophisticated, and they actually go beyond what consumers think of as just a coating, but an actual fluid applied roof membrane, the upward potential in that industry is absolutely astronomical, and it's unlimited. And so I think in an era where it is difficult and increasingly difficult by sheer demographics of our population to recruit new workers to this industry, the liquid applied roofing systems and coatings that are available offer a unique opportunity for a lot of roofing companies to put down a lot of square feet of roof membrane in a different manner with less labor. And so I actually see this as a real prime opportunity for that particular segment of the roofing industry.
All right. So I want to ask you for a few minutes to take off your NRCA hat and put on your legislative hat, because I mentioned this leading off the podcast, but of course, while you're the CEO of NRCA for the time being, you also have a history on the legislative side of things, where from, it was 2011 through 2017 that you were in the House of Representatives, correct?
That's correct.
So representing the 8th Congressional District of Wisconsin, right?
Yep, home of the world famous Green Bay Packers, I might add.
There you go. And wait, so your first year was 2011. That was the year that the Packers last won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I was. I was at the White House during the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good time. We can call it either good luck charm, I guess. We'll have to see what Well, I'm assuming there will be a football season. Hopefully there will be.
Yeah, there will be.
Yeah, I would think so. That's a long way off, so that we've got a lot of time to get this under control. As far as your experience in Congress, the reason I'm bringing this up, within the last day, there's been a reported agreement on a stimulus package with both the, well, of course, there was a U.S. House agreement, but now there's a Senate agreement as well. It looks like checks will begin going out in May. What are your thoughts, having been a legislator for 6 years in the House? What do you think about this deal as it pertains to, I guess, getting Americans through this crisis, but also what it means potentially for industry as it tries to move forward?
Yeah, well, the government had to do something.
Yep.
And so, first of all, I'll commend Leader McConnell for actually ushering a piece of legislation through the Senate in bipartisan fashion so that they could get something done, because something had to be done. Now, the problem I have with it, and I would struggle, quite frankly, voting for it if I was even given a chance to vote in the House, which I don't think House members will be given a chance to vote on.
Sure.
It, but would be that they're spending nearly 10% of the nation's GDP, a little over $2 trillion, without a single hearing, without a single committee vote. This thing went straight from the leader's desk to the Senate floor for a vote with very little, if any, debate. And the only debate that had been on this bill was the little bit of fighting that Democrats, Republicans did in the chamber this week, trying to posture for their base of voters this fall. Now, does that mean that the whole bill is not very helpful? No, not at all. I think they did some really good things. I think the small business elements of this that Marco Rubio came up with was a pretty good idea, well thought out. Let's provide low interest loans through the Small Business Administration to companies less than 500 employees to help them cover payroll, to help them make sure they're paying health insurance and things like that, which will incent companies not to lay people off, but to keep them employed, which is exactly what you want in this type of environment. I think it was a really good move. Clearly, they're going to have to expand some of the unemployment insurance benefits just by the sheer nature of the number of people that have been laid off in the last 2 weeks. And so those state funds are going to run out of money. And if people run out of money, you go from a really bad situation to a really crisis situation. And so I think on balance, there are some really good things on there. On the negative side, every senator and now every House member is going to want to find their little pet project that they haven't been able to pass through a normal legislative process and shove it into this bill because it's one of these must-pass pieces of legislation. And so there's a lot of pork in this bill that didn't need to be there, that after everybody finds out what's in it, Nancy Pelosi became famous when she said we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Well, the fact of the matter is there's not going to be a single House member that's going to get a chance to read this legislation before she passes it on what's called a unanimous consent. And she might have to do that at 3 a.m, but they'll get that done and then the president will sign it. But the process whereby they got from where they were to where they are has just been so classic for the Congress that there was no pre-planning on this and everybody's little wish list got put in it. And they did it because it's the only way they could get enough votes to pass it.
You mentioned earlier with regards to a timetable, late May, early June, something like that, if the United States was on par with China, with regards to how long it takes to move to the next phase and begin restarting the economy and, of course, for purposes of our discussion, these roofing projects, how long does this stimulus potentially hold things up for either an individual or for business? How long can this work before businesses need more help? Is it that same time frame in terms of late May, early June? Just curious what you think from a timing perspective.
My guess is if this gets to the president's desk this week, which is likely, The president signs it. Then the agencies have to write the rules on how they're going to manage it. That give them another week to do that. And then the checks start flowing. And at that point, I think you've got about 8 weeks of funding. And that may be enough, but it also may not be, depending on how efficient they can process that information and get the money. Now, if they do true public-private partnerships where local banks are doing the approvals of the loans and things like that, and they can circumvent some of the tedious process that's involved with small business administrative loans, they could get the money into people's hands a bit faster. So until the rules are written, we're not really going to know. But it's going to last for about an 8 week period, and my guess is Congress will then have to act and do another one of some smaller level. You know, because the airline industry is not going to recover. If everybody could travel tomorrow, it's not like they're going to be able to dial up in a day's time. There's going to be a couple week lag as people get planning in place and reorganize meetings and things like that. And none of that can be done now. I mean, even at NRCA, we can't plan when we're going to hold our next meeting because we don't know when this is going to be over.
Good point. Last question for you. And you can look at this from a political angle or from the NRCA's perspective and the roofing industry. Let's pretend that we're talking a year from now on this same podcast, giving an outlook, hopefully a positive one, on 2021. How will things have changed from a business perspective in this country? And I suppose you can tailor this to the roofing industry. What will be different once we get through this crisis about business moving forward for your base?
I think the real differences that are likely to happen are going to be in the use of technology and the use in technology specifically on the administrative side of businesses. At the end of the day, you're still going to need a roofing worker and a tradesman to go up there and put that roof on. But every step to that point is going to be automated. You know, already companies like EagleView are doing measuring and providing drawings for roofing contractors without ever actually visiting the site. And so you're going to see more and more estimating and delivery of bids, communications, and things like that moving into the virtual world than ever before. And this will probably accelerate it.
Interesting. Folks, he is Reed Ribble, CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association. Reed, before you go, if people want more information from you or from NRCA, where can people find you, be it website, social media? Is there anything you want to plug from the perspective of the NRCA?
Yeah, you can find NRCA just about everywhere. Our website is nrca.net. You can find us at the National Roofing Contractors Association on LinkedIn, NRCA News on Twitter. You can find me at Rep Ribble at Twitter. You can find me at NRCA_CEO on Twitter. You can find us at National Roofing Contractors Association on Facebook and Instagram as well. And so we're in just about every type of social networking interface that any business would need to have.
Sounds good. Reed, thanks so much for the time, and let's do this again once we move past it and hopefully have a bit more positive outlook on where we're going in a few months. Sound good?
You bet. Call anytime, Ben. Thanks.
Good stuff there with Reed Ribble, CEO of the National Roofing Contractors Association. If you want more insight and information from them, you can go to nrca.net or you can follow them on Twitter at NRCA News for the latest updates. That will do it for this Wednesday afternoon, March 25th. As always, thanks for listening, and of course, thanks to Reed for joining us. If you want more information before our next podcast, you can go to codingspromag.com or you can go to nace.org for the latest information from Codings Pro Magazine or NACE International. We definitely plan on having more of these podcasts in the near future. This is a very unprecedented time. We realize with regards to not just the coatings and corrosion control industry, but really any industry these days, the way that this has all impacted our lives and dislodged us from our normal routines, it's an unprecedented time on a personal level for everyone, but also on a business level. And so we want to be there for you in the weeks ahead here at NACE International as we try and guide the discussion as far as where we go from here and hopefully beginning the process of returning to some sense of normalcy in the weeks and months ahead. Whatever the next steps are, though, we'll have you covered here at NACE International and at Coatings Pro Magazine in our Coatings Pro interview series. So if you want more information from Coatings Pro and or NACE, the best way to get it, besides just visiting the websites, would be to subscribe to this podcast. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, wherever you're listening, the odds are you can subscribe, hopefully leave us a positive review. That's how you can get episodes right when they come out, even before we can post them to nace.org or coatingspromag.com. Again, subscribe, leave a positive review, and that's how you can get these episodes right when they come out. And we do plan to have more of these in the days and weeks ahead, because it's not like we're going to snap our fingers and things go back to normal in a day or two. This is a very ongoing and largely unprecedented situation. And so as the trade association representing the corrosion control industry, we want to be there for you guys and try and figure out together what comes next and steer the conversation in a productive way for business, our industry, and of course for you on a personal level as well. If we can help, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. For now, this is where we break. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks again to Reed for joining us, and please come back soon for more podcasts right here at NACE International.